Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The show is exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Every week at 5 p.m. on Tuesdays, we've got Jacori Kroski-Merritt on the show. Bill is with us right now on the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jacori, thanks for the time, man. It's Grant and Danny. How you been?
I'm good. How you doing? I've been good.
We are well. So give us an idea of how you spend your Tuesdays. For people that don't know, Tuesdays are the off day in the NFL, so you guys typically don't have to go into the facility. So today, what have you been up to all day?
So today, I mean, we're off, but I still got up early, you know, went and got me a lift in and just to move my body. And today, did some community service, and I've pretty much been chilling ever since. So I had a productive day at the beginning, and then I just, like, calmed it down towards the end.
Yeah, that's well-deserved, my friend. What were you doing in the community, man? Tell people what you were up to.
We was helping feed people at the homeless shelter. So, like, just passing out food, washing clothes, and, you know, just hanging out.
Is that something you do every week? Because I didn't know about that. Obviously, you're not doing it. What's that?
It was the event that the rookies had.
Okay, so all the rookies went over
there.
That's
great, man.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned getting a lift. Do you go to the facility for that, or do you lift at your house, or do you go to the gym? What do you do?
Just go to the facility.
And are a lot of guys in there lifting on an off day still, or is it just you and a few others?
Yeah, it's a lot of guys come in just to move their bodies.
How different is it? Oh, sorry, Jacquard, I didn't mean to cut you off, but how different is it when, you know, you're, I don't want to say you're used to it, but you're playing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the schedule's a little bit different. You play that primetime game or a nighttime game. How different is that to kind of get yourself ready, get your body ready, and then, you know, the recovery? How different is it?
It's definitely different. You just have to, like, we have 1 p.m. games, you get up, and it's basically you eat breakfast and it's time to go play football. But night games, you have to, like, stretch things out. You have to wait a little bit longer. You have more time at the hotel. So you just have to, like, be a lot more calmer and like, focus until it's time to play, which is at nighttime. So it's a big difference.
Jacquard Kroski-Merritt is with us on Grant and Danny. We're joined by Bill every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Bill, really tough injury for Jaden Daniels this past weekend. He's trying to score. He gets tackled. Elbow dislocation. We're still awaiting word on how long he'll be out. But just give us an idea of kind of the emotions on the sideline, on the field, when he suffered that injury and your conversations with Jaden since.
It's always tough when someone goes down on the field and have an injury. But I mean, it was heartbreaking, and like we just here to, like, just lift him up and let him know that he'll be back, and it's just, you know, just a little adversity he had to go through, and he's a strong human being, so I know he'll be able to get over it and just move on, because that's the only thing he can do right now is and just look forward and go through the process.
What's it like on the field and on the sideline when any teammate, you know, kind of goes down with that kind of injury, and then once they're off, it's like, okay, now we got to go to the next play. How hard is that to kind of mentally lock back in?
Well, you just gotta hope it's not that bad, and just pray that he'll be able to pray that somebody, whoever the injury is having to, like, can be back out there. But, like, yeah, it's kind of weird just having to move on and knowing that someone's, like hurt really bad, and, like, just try to act like nothing happened, like, especially, like, just going to the next play. But, I mean, that's how it is. Like, I mean, we can't, like, just end the whole game. You just got to keep going. It's definitely weird, though.
Yeah, and you could tell the oxygen, and it just sucked out of the whole stadium. I mean, fans, the whole demeanor changes, especially with somebody like Jaden, not to make light of all the other injuries, but it's just so much different when it's a guy who everybody's rocking the jersey. Bill, mm-hmm. How about it's four straight losses now, and three of them, the last three of them, have been by 20 or more. So this is not an easy thing for a team to go through. I mean, this has been a really rough stretch. How is the demeanor? Can you tell around the guys in the locker room, like, that things are going badly? And what kind of confidence do you have that you guys are close to getting out of this?
We definitely know things are going how we wanted to. I mean, that's very obviously, but, I mean, this is the time that we gotta stick together the most. And I feel like that's what's going on. Because if we don't, it's just gonna be worse than what it is. We just got to stop the bleeding and just go forward. Because it can be way worse. Like we can just stop caring now, and it'd be 100 times worse than what it is right now. So I feel like guys in the locker room definitely. No, like we can't give up now just because things aren't going our way. We still got a lot of fight, and we got eight more guaranteed games. So it's just going to show how much heart we have, and I know we have a lot of.
Bill, it's your first go around here as a rookie. The trade deadline came and went. What's that like? Just sort of, you know, leading up to it, where I'm sure you guys, you know, you got Twitter or whatever, and there are rumors that are always kind of flying around. What was your first trade deadline like? No moves are made. The group that was you've gotten to know in your room or in the locker room rather is the same group. But what was your first trade deadline like?
I honestly don't. I try to stay off Twitter right now, and I honestly don't know nothing about the trade deadline. I really don't know how it works. I'm still learning the business.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad you weren't paying any attention.
Because no one got traded. You guys are good.
I hope they didn't trade Cousin, Bill.
Nah, Cousin, he's right here.
Okay, good. So he didn't get traded. How mad was he? You said he was mad about the Chiefs game. He must have been really mad about the Seahawks game.
Hey, I haven't changed.
No, but Cousin, after the Seahawks game, what was his reaction when you got home?
Just act like he didn't see me.
Ignored you like a cat.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I mean, Cousin's gonna do he's gonna be like the crazy guy on the news that, like, doesn't shave his beard until y'all win. Cousin's not gonna cuddle with you on the couch until you get a touchdown again, Bill.
Yeah, I'm definitely starving for the end zone.
Let's do it this weekend.
I'm starving for the end zone. I'm starving for everything.
All right, Detroit. How about a two touchdown game from Ja'Cory Cross?
That a two touchdown game with a win. That'll just brighten my whole. Like, it'll be amazing.
And Cousin will be giving you licks and hanging out.
Yeah, he'll be back with me.
That's so great. Dude, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, appreciate you.
Thank you, Bill. See you, buddy. Good. There's Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Cousin sitting beside him there, side-eyeing him as he's doing the interview.
See, he act like he didn't see me. Jennifer's like, can you imagine you come home and your dog's going, nope, not you. Turn it away.
What is the best case scenario for the Commanders the rest of the way? That's what I want to get into on Grant and Danny. And what should we even be rooting for? Mm. Like, it's been a long time since we've been in this spot where right now they have the 10th pick in the draft. This is a team that does have a bunch of needs and that is short on draft pick compensation. So while I'd love to sit there at number 9, which is officially where they are as of last night with the Cardinals getting a win, and maybe take one of the great edge rushers or the great skill position players in this draft, because you don't have a second-round pick, because you don't have a fourth-round pick, because you only have one pick in the third round, you haven't added any, maybe you're a perfect candidate to trade down and to add a bunch of picks. And Danny, if that's the case,
yep,
you know what would be best is to have the 7th pick or the 5th pick. Now, I'm not sitting here saying anybody should be advocating for them not winning as many games as possible as a fan. That's not what fans do. But especially if Jaden Daniels is not healthy and not playing, and if, you know, Marcus Mariota's out there, and with so many of the really important players on the team already injured, it makes it a little bit easier to care less about the results and more about the process.
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. I'm really good at this. I've got a lot of practice. I root individually for the development of Trey Amos. I root individually for more playing time. Let's out-snap Sheldon Day this week, Johnny Newton. I root for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, who just joined us. Young players who are going to be here, I care about. I do not care about the production of guys that will or will that will not be here when this group hopefully is good. I want them to lose the rest of their games. That's the best scenario.
So you're already there.
Oh yeah, right now.
See, I'm not there yet. I'll get there when they're eliminated and when this thing officially goes sideways. Or secondary, we find out that Jaden Daniels is out for the year. Because if Daniels is out for the year, the chance that you're going to have some renaissance led by Marcus Mariota is very, very slim. And while you're no longer really a championship caliber team because Daniels can't put you on his back at Tampa or at Detroit or whatever at that point, and I do think Marcus does some things really well. He's better than Jaden at read option because he's one of the best in the league at read option. You know, his quick game abilities, I think, accentuate, you know, that part of their offense pretty well. But there's just things that he can't do that Daniels can do. There's a reason one went second overall recently in Daniels, and the other, a former number 2 overall pick and Heisman Trophy winner, has bounced around as a backup the last several years. So if Jaden isn't coming back, then it's over anyway. But otherwise, I'm still a couple weeks away from tank mode, so to speak. But I guess secondarily what I'm wondering is, like, what people want. You're saying lose all the games, whatever, that's fine. I'm wondering, what is the best case scenario for the rest of their season as far as wins look like? You know, what is the best case scenario for them? Not, it's better for them if they lose. Like, how good could they be the rest of the way, especially if Daniels isn't playing?
Well, so here, I wanted to play that out with you for a second. And I'm going to answer your first question also. When is Daniels coming back, if he's coming back at all? It's not like in 2 weeks, right?
I would imagine if he comes back, and I don't think he's going to, but I don't know anything yet, I would think that he would be back for 3 or so games.
Right, and so what it implies is, okay, if there's meaningful football to be played when Daniels is back, it means they'd have to bank a whole bunch of wins, right, starting right now this minute.
Mariota's about to pull off the Todd Collins 4-game run.
Yeah, and play markedly better than they have in more than a month. And get to the point where they've still only, you know, they've won a bunch of games and only have, what, 6 or 7 or 6 number of losses. Because you have no more ground that you can give away in a crowded NFC. They won't be completely mathematically eliminated in a couple of weeks, but they might as well be all but eliminated. You drop 2 more games, you're not going to the postseason. I don't care who's quarterbacking. Daniels, you, me, Mariota, Sam Hartman, doesn't matter, right? You're pretty much out of it at that point.
Well, I got really bad news, which is, if you drop 1 more game, you're probably not going to the postseason.
And that's kind of my thing. And that's why
tiebreaker metrics, for people that haven't been listening very often the last couple weeks for this team, are as bad as they could possibly be.
Yeah.
They're 1-5 in the NFC right now, which would be your wild card tiebreaker. So if you lose another game in the conference, that's Detroit, Minnesota, and then your divisional games with the Giants, 2 Eagles, and the Cowboys, you can't win a tiebreaker based on recency of the last few years at 10-7. That resume wouldn't get you in via tiebreaker.
Yeah, and the NFC is crowded like it was last year. Seattle, 5-5 in the NFC with a 10-7 record, didn't make the postseason. And I suspect something like that's going to happen again. So that's kind of my view on it. Now to your question that you asked about what's their ceiling.
And to, just to finish that off real quick, I would say to kind of give you my timeline on when I'm now in the mode of process. I'm always process over results, but like results just don't matter at all. And it's actually better if you're not winning. Probably after the bye. You know, for all those people that spent their money to go see them in Madrid, let's get them a win against Miami. Ideally, you rip off one against the Lions, one against the Dolphins. I don't think they beat Detroit, and you're 5-6, and now you can go have a season. But I think if you lose to Detroit, after that Miami game out of the bye for the final 6 weeks is when I'm going. Each win here that costs you draft position gets you less back when you trade back, which I think is how they might recoup. Because I think that could end up being a real blessing in disguise. If you stub your toe this year, have a very high pick, you can trade for even multiple times to trade down. And instead of making the least picks in the league like last year or having the lowest pick total through four rounds right now this year in the NFL draft, you could change that number considerably.
And that would be the formula to me. I mean, again, they were given the gift a couple years ago in the Chase Young year where they could have taken a quarterback or traded back, which they should have done, or taken a quarterback. They did neither, and that player doesn't play here anymore. You could stub your toe into that again. I don't think you're getting the second pick. I think there are too many bodies to climb over in that regard. But again, that's kind of that's where the eye line should be. Not let's rally and have something and see if we can do something incredible and get back to the postseason or get back to relevance. The eye line should be the opposite direction as you've lost by 60-some points over the last few weeks. But what their ceiling is, it's so hard for me to say it's anything other than a win or two. Not because of any factor other than they've played so unbelievably poorly and been so uncompetitive with so little counterpunch, with so little, it's not an effort thing. If this was just, an Albert Haynesworth lay down on the field and Andre Carter's jumping over you, you'd go, all right, they could fix that by benching somebody and putting in someone with guts. This isn't a guts thing.
They're trying right now.
Yeah, this is a, I have no punches. Both of my hands don't work. Yours do. I'm getting bludgeoned. I can't swing back at you. Right there, I'm paralyzed from the shoulders down on both arms. That's what it looks like. I don't know where the turnaround comes from. I really don't.
Yeah, I come back to the fact that they're not losing. They're getting blown out.
Yeah, and multiple guys hurt each week.
They're not losing. They're getting eviscerated while losing more and more important players to injuries. They lost by 22 to Dallas, 21 to Kansas City, and 24 to Seattle. The last time that happened in this league was 2020 with the Jaguars. You're talking about three straight losses by that big a margin. Last time for them was 21 years ago. So this is not, there's nothing normal about how badly this is going.
Right.
Even for the bad teams, like the Jets stink. The Titans are terrible. We've seen really awful teams the last few years in this league. Cleveland's had some dud seasons. They've never, during that stretch, done what Washington's done the last 3 weeks, been blown out by that much. And a huge part of that, frankly, the reason that's been possible is all the injuries, and it's not changing. Lattimore out for the year. Luke McCaffrey probably out for the year, broken collarbone. Jaden Daniels possibly out for the year, certainly out for an extended period of time. We still need more details on that timeline. But how many wins do you see here legitimately? I mean, the Lions, I don't think either of us are going to give them a chance in that game.
No.
I do think they can beat the Dolphins in that early morning game in Madrid. I'm going to say they beat Miami and end what will be a five-game skid there. What do you got in that game?
That's reasonable. But is it the Miami team we saw beat the pants off Atlanta a couple weeks ago?
That team showed up twice all year, so I'll say no.
Sure. That's about the number of times I've seen Washington show up in that same caliber. Yeah. But that, to me, that's a toss-up game. With international, it's weird. They can win that game.
All right, so let's give them a win there if we're saying it's a toss-up. The Broncos with that defense is a scheduled loss.
I think that's a loss.
I think that game probably gets flexed out of Sunday Night Football, too.
It should.
Do you think NBC wants to see Washington again after what it just did to them against Seattle?
Unless they're trying to desperately put Bo Nix and Sean Payton over for some reason, but I bet you there's a better game that week.
So you and I, thanks to our good friends Kondori and Murad, the law firm that sponsors this show, if you have any needs, they've got a Fairfax office. They can cover you in Virginia, Maryland, D.C. They do a great job on all kinds of important grown-up paperwork. So if you need a lawyer, Kondori and Murad. They're sending us to Minneapolis, brand new beautiful stadium. Over the last several years, it's been the talk of the league. We have not been there yet. That'll be fun. That is a winnable game, but I'm going to say Minnesota in that building beats Washington.
They're desperate. They'll need it. If, that's assuming they kind of keep doing what they're doing, which is hang around a little bit in that division.
Let me make it easier for you. Justin Jefferson against this secondary.
Okay, let me redo mine. They're losing that game.
You double Justin Jefferson. Now it's Jordan Addison against the secondary.
Or it's Hockenson.
How are you stopping that team?
You're not.
The Giants, I'm going to say they win that game. Now, that means you swept the Giants. I know they played a lot better with Jackson Dart. There are no Sharpie wins on this schedule. I'm not telling you there are, the way they're playing. There's no pen wins. These are all written in pencil. But I'm giving them Miami, and I'm giving them the Giants.
So I'll say loss to the Giants, because two 50-50 games, you're going to lose one of those to me.
All right, then they've got three left, Eagles twice and the Cowboys. I'll say they win one of the three. Maybe it's Philly in week 18 because the division's been wrapped up for 5 weeks.
And the Eagles don't need it for home field. I've got three losses there.
So you've got them winning one more game?
Which seems ridiculous.
It could happen. I just don't think it will.
I don't either. But just given the way that it's gone, kind of, if they lost every game like they lost to the Bears, where it's like a play here or there, a false start or an illegal shift or a fumble at the wrong time, you go, okay, they're not playing great, but that's fine. It's so uncompetitive.
I'm sitting here ready to jump at you going, one win? Come on, Danny. I think I gave them two. No, you know what? I'm giving them three.
Because you said they won one of the final three.
I've got Miami, the Giants, and then one of the three division games.
They'll win a game we don't think they will. So like maybe they'll beat Philly one time or Dallas.
So let's set it at this then. Let's open up the phones on this. 2.5 wins the rest of the year. You going over or under that for Washington? Which basically means are they getting to six wins? Feels like it should be an easy locked in yes, but we just did the exercise.
Yeah,
I found three, and that's giving them toss-ups with the Dolphins and the Giants and a game as an underdog against either the Eagles or the Cowboys. They've got one of the hardest remaining schedules in the league with all these injuries, having lost three straight by 21 or more. 2.5 wins the rest of the way, over under. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pause.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
How about this for a fun little NFL update? The Arizona Cardinals are going to start Jacoby Brissett in their upcoming game. And initially, when Jonathan Gannon came out and said that, reporters who cover the team said, well, it's a short week, and you know they want to keep some continuity, and they're not going to make the change back to Kyler yet. I'm not sure how healthy he was. But they followed up with him, and Gannon said, even if Kyler's 100% ready to go, we're rolling with Jacoby Brissett. Which means we could have a quarterback change coming in Arizona here. Now, we'll see what they do after the short week. But we were talking about Jacoby Brissett yesterday. He's my guy. I understand his limitations. I like players that live in the pocket and just sit there and make throws. And he is that. And look how he's played. At the Cowboys last night, 261, two touchdowns, no picks. You say, oh, that's a terrible defense. October 19th against the Packers, 280 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. His first start was against the Colts, who turn everybody over a bunch and play really hard, really well. 320 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. So on the year now, he's completing 65% of his passes with six touchdowns and one interception. And he's on a pace for 4,900 passing yards over those three starts. I'm not going to sit here and say he would do that. But Jacoby's just fascinating to me. He's 32 years old. He bounces around like a pinball. most of his recent stops, Danny, when the starter's gone out and he's come in, he's been better than the guy he replaces.
This is kind of an annual tradition now.
It is.
Right? Where he goes someplace where the guy's embattled, where the guy struggles, where the guy...
inexperienced, like Sam Howell.
Yeah, what I'm saying is he's given a shot, and he's not really running with it. Right? I mean, he wouldn't go to... I'm trying to think of a place with a great young quarterback. Like, he wouldn't go to... Well, I'm trying to think of a good one.
Here's a good
one. That would fit.
Like, he went to Carolina, and Bryce Young couldn't play for 2 weeks or something... Jacoby Brissett would go in.
He'd go in and play
up.
Better. He'd play better than Andy Dalton or whatever.
The offense works better with him out there.
But I was trying to think of a better comp. But like, if he went to the Chargers, he wouldn't be better than Justin Herbert, right? But like, he's at that level where if you're an embattled, struggling young starter, here comes the steady hand of Jacoby Brissett.
I just think everybody always loves him. I heard from so many people when he was here in Washington what a cool dude.
Great
he was.
Teammate.
And he is so comfortable, it seems like, being a QB2. He's this non-threatening guy that's not trying to gun for anybody's job. But when he gets a shot, he's going out there and he's throwing for 225 in a pair. He's moving the football. He's working the middle of the field. He's making big boy throws. He's got a big time arm. Now, if you want him to run, that ain't happening.
You're going to be disappointed.
He's me out there. He's in the pocket making throws. But I just dig him and he played well. And I'm happy the Cardinals are giving him a shot for at least another week. Now, the Kyler contract. He's gotten paid. I'd have to look at how many more years is on that. But there's not much precedent for huge money quarterbacks getting benched. But this is what we'll call like a soft benching.
It's
a short week, and we want some continuity here.
Saw you limping. We'll go, Ja'Cory.
Hey, Jacoby. Kyler, get over here. Tell them you're not feeling that good. That's kind of what's going on here.
2025, that's a $43 million cap hit. 2026, that's a $53 million cap it. 2027, back down to 43. Now there's an out, looks like, after 2026. So where they would have like a $7 million dead cap.
Which, seven is it?
Yeah. Which looks like that might be your exit.
It is over.
Everyone has to pee. There's a Waffle House there.
On that ramp, you are swinging that van over to the right.
Yeah.
So it's 2 years left.
Yeah.
How much cap space?
53 next year. That's your big boy. That one stinks. Okay. That one's going to hurt.
Wow.
Yeah. Then the next year, after 2026, looks like a $7 million dead cap hit.
Now, he's a better player than Tua, so I think that's a better contract than Tua. But the reason I'm reacting as I am isn't that Kyler's terrible. I don't think he is. But they right now clearly feel better about Jacoby Brissett, understandably, based on how he's played.
Yeah.
He makes a couple million bucks.
Yep.
And he's a year-to-year hired gun, so it's a lock. He's on like a one-year deal for probably $6 million that he could max out to 10 or something like that.
With a couple of incentives triggered. Yeah. Buys himself a nice house in Arizona and hangs out.
I think you got to go back to Kyler eventually. But when is eventually? I mean, if you're Jonathan Gannon, here's the real hard part. You're probably coaching for your job here, too.
I think you definitely are.
How many years do you get to just spin your tires as a Jag average coach for a Jag average team? And it's, you know, they're 3-5. So they had lost 5 in a row. They started 2-0, remember. They didn't play anybody, but they beat the Saints and the Panthers.
Yes.
Then they lost to the Niners. Good. Seahawks. Good. That Titans loss is going to kill them all season. That's the only win for Tennessee. Shouldn't have happened. Colts are good. Packers are good. So they had a really tough stretch, but you beat Dallas. Now you've got Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Tampa, and the Rams coming up. Five straight playoff teams.
Good luck.
So they're about to be like 4-8, 4-9.
So they'd actually done, and everyone can roll their eyes and scoff at this, but they'd done the thing. They'd done the first major step to go from laughingstock, joke, et cetera, at 4-13, Gannon's first year, clearing out the old garage garbage pail from Cliff Kingsbury, the team he inherited. They went 8-9 last year. They were fine. They were not good, but this is the hard part, though, is to go from fine as part of the mediocre bucket. Can you take the next step? The answer is a resounding no.
Well,
in that division.
That's number one reason why Gannon could be fired. The number two reason, though, is when you've got a guy like Murray under contract, you need to maximize that player. You need to get the most out of him. We have seen him play at a level in this league that you can win with. They have made the playoffs with him. They have won double-digit games with him. You mentioned Cliff there in Arizona with Kyler.
Won 11-6 with him.
They did some very good things. They were the best team in football at the halfway point of a season with Cliff and Kyler at one point in time. So this is not working if he's regressing to the point where you think Brissett's the better quarterback, who Darius tells me is on a 2-year deal for $12 million at about $6 million per year. So that's where this offseason you probably need to go find someone to match up with Kyler Murray for the final couple of years of him being under contract, just so you can get the most out of him, because that's the only path forward financially for them. But I wanted to pass that along because that came across here. We were talking about Jacoby yesterday on the show going into Monday Night Football, and he went out and lit it up and might have stolen the job for now from Kyler Murray. But I like the phrase, this is a soft benching. He's not coming out, Gannon isn't, and saying, we got a new starting quarterback. But if Brissett goes out and lights it up, maybe next week you go, we're going to keep this for another week. If he falls on his face, now you can go right back to Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Schefter tweeted not too long ago that the Cardinals, according to sources, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals have consulted with multiple doctors on his foot injury and have been told the timetables for recovery have been anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks with an increased chance of setback until it's properly healed. Murray now has more time to heal. I hope his shoulders aren't too sore from carrying that water from the Cardinals organization on exactly the way to couch this soft benching. Because that's what it is.
Shefty's like, and so what do I say about the timeline for Kyler?
That's, I mean, come on, dude. Doesn't that read like, can you explain, is Kyler benched? No, he's not actually benched. He's just not going to play for an extended period of time. Could be as long as 8 weeks. This gives him a chance to not play and someone else to play in his stead. It is not a benching. It's just him not playing anymore with someone else taking his place.
Monty Ossenfort, the GM of the Cardinals, is texting Shefty. The phone call is Monty like, hey, Adam, I need you to put something out for us.
You got it. Transcribing now.
We need you to say that Kyler Murray's getting some extra opinions, but he could be back this week or he could be back in a month. We don't really know. It's very vague.
Open-ended. Anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks?
Sure, that works.
Book it.
We asked you guys how many wins are left on the schedule for the Commanders. Let's get back to that and localize the convo. I've got them at 3 wins the rest of this season. We just went through them.
Yeah, give me 2. For that. Utah, give me 2.
You're going to go 2.
2.
The over-under, because of that, is being set at 2.5 for you guys to pick a side on. Joe is in L.A. listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Yeah, I think I'm smashing the under. I don't think they're going to beat the Dolphins. Maybe if they get everybody else back, they could get 2 more wins down the stretch. But at this point, the main thing I'm looking forward to this year is just rooting against the Eagles and the Thanksgiving food draft.
The Thanksgiving food draft, there are already teams sending out scouts to just look at things in the grocery store.
There's going to be controversy. There always is. Has to be.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You've got to.
Because I'm involved.
Yeah. You have to do something at some point to make everybody.
People aren't going
to
like.
RJ's in Laurel on G&D. RJ, 2.5 wins over these final 8 for the Commanders. What say you?
I'm going to give them the Vikings, the Giants, and the Cowboys.
Let's go. We're going over.
I'm going to go slightly over.
Let's go over.
And I'm going to say also, man, I think we need to bring in like a witch doctor or something. Ever since that fumble against the Bears, that's when the S show performances really began. So, like, it's been amazing. But I'm going to go with 3 wins and just hope Dan Quinn can just get the defense to play with energy the way they did against the Chiefs in the first half. I don't know what happened after that, but they look like they're playing with some energy, so we'll see.
That's what should be happening, by the way. Not the energy part, which is obvious and I think is happening to some extent. But Dan Quinn needs to get more involved. I don't care if you take away play calling duties or not. He's on the Motorola headset anyway. I don't care if Joe Witt's upstairs or downstairs. When Dan Quinn's been a coordinator in this league, his defenses are top 5. As a head coach in this league, his defenses have never been better than 14th. He needs to be more involved in the defensive side of the building if he's not right now, starting this week, and in play calling and planning and prepping and everything. He is really, really good at the coordinating part. He always has been. Help the guy that is really struggling to do that, please.
Seriously. And if your goal is to have him grow in the position, because, you know, he was promoted, talking about Joe Witt, help him do that. You know, even if you're not calling the plays, you know, spend more time shoring up that part of the organization. Get into all those meetings and help them dictate the game plan, et cetera.
How do you see the rest of the season going for the Commanders is the question today on Grant and Danny. We are live all over the DMV on 106.7 The Fan. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're just getting in your car, leaving the office today, nothing to report at all on the Commanders at the NFL trade deadline. They didn't make any moves. There were moves today in the National Football League. The deadline came and went an hour and 48 minutes ago, right at 4 o'clock. Here's a quick lay of the land of some of the blockbuster deals that went down. The Indianapolis Colts may have been the big winners in terms of talent added. Corner Sauce Gardner, a two-time All-Pro, who is 25 years old, former fourth pick in 2022, having his worst coverage season via PFF, but still a Pro Bowl caliber player with a chance to be an elite corner, goes to Indianapolis. They gave up two ones and wide receiver Adonai Mitchell back to the New York Jets in that trade.
That is a blockbuster deal. Shout out to the old video store that I miss so dearly, going on Friday nights and perusing the aisles until I could find the perfect DVD. But yeah, Colts are going for it, man, and rightfully so. They have the best record in football, and after last week's kind of messy, weird loss, that's where they felt they were weakest. They upgraded with a star.
They were not the only team to benefit from the Jets' fire sale. The Cowboys brought back Quinnen Williams in a swap. The big defensive tackle has been to four Pro Bowls. Could be on his way to another one this season. The Jets get a second-round pick this year and a first-round pick next year. Also, a defensive lineman as part of a rotation in the deal in return. So they got two ones and a two while giving up their two best defensive players, Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams today. The Cowboys also brought in linebacker Logan Wilson for a seventh-round pick from the Cincinnati Bengals. Logan Wilson's 29, a sixth-year veteran. The Bengals' entire career, third-round pick out of Wyoming, 65th overall, four 100-tackle seasons in a row. He had a 135-tackle season, the only time he's ever played in all 17 games. They need help at linebacker. He provides it. That defense, worst in the league, maybe. Got a great defensive tackle and a really good linebacker today. I don't know if Jerry knows that they're not making the playoffs, that they lost last night, that they're on the outside looking in the hunt graphic, but if he feels like these are moves for the future, they got better defensively.
And for the Jets, first-round pick in 2026, theirs. First-round pick in 2026, the Colts. Second-round pick, their own second-round pick, Dallas. 2027, their own first-rounder, Dallas's first-rounder, and the Colts' first-rounder. That's how you reboot.
They need to, man.
And yeah,
they're
again.
really bad, and they don't have a quarterback. Seahawks are bringing in wide receiver Rashid Shaheed. We just saw Seattle. Jackson Smith and Jigba's leading the NFL in receiving. He's been great coming off of a 100-yard half against Washington. Torrey Horton, their rookie from Colorado State, is very talented as well. But outside of Smith and Jigba, they don't have a whole lot of receiver. He's leading the NFL in target share, you know, percentage of yards by one player in a passing game. Shaheed's going to change that. Fourth and fifth round picks back to New Orleans. Rashid Shaheed is 27, been in the league for 4 years. He's on his way to shattering personal highs in targets, catches, and yards. 44 catches for 499 this season. They're using him differently. He's been like a one-trick pony deep player in his career. He's one of the fastest players in the league.
Yep.
11.3 yards per catch this year, distantly worst in the 4 years because he's kind of running a lot more routes, honestly, doing some underneath stuff as well. I love this deal for Seattle. The other team that added a receiver that's going to help them a ton, the Jaguars, an AFC wildcard hopeful. Jacksonville's bringing Jacoby Myers aboard from the Raiders, Vegas netting a fourth and a sixth back, from Jacksonville in the deal. Liam Cohen did great things with that Tampa Bay offense. He's been lacking receiver talent. Travis Hunter is hurt. Brian Thomas Jr., for whatever reason, is in a rut this season. They can't really get him going. Enter Jacoby Myers in Jacksonville.
Yeah, one of those slept on, you know, possession receivers. Nothing sexy there. I think he's always been a little bit better than his surrounding cast, right? He's been in a couple bad offenses with bad quarterbacks and bad situations, etc. To me, that Seattle move, though, that's the move. That's exactly right. With all due respect to what Shahid's developed, you're going deep for me. You're going deep for me a lot. You're taking pressure off number 11. Sam Darnold can sling it down that way. You might get a gold ball a week or two, but you're going to run a lot, man. Get your cardio in.
If this week's any indication, they can hold up in protection, too.
They'll be just fine.
Buy some time for him to get down the field. So there's the big moves that took place today, the NFL trade deadline. The Commanders stood pat, and so now we're looking at the rest of their schedule, trying to see, with this injury-plagued roster and keeping the veterans on board and intact, how many wins do you see for them? We're setting the over-under at 2.5. Sean's in Winchester on the Fan. What's up, Sean?
What's going on, guys? Grant, tell Danny he might have to find his earmuffs, because I really took a problem to what he was saying about tanking. I'm in myself for the whole Seahawks disaster. There should be no tanking. After last year and the highs they got us on, we should – I'm banking on that they win out. That's what I'm hoping for.
God bless you.
I don't see that happening, but as a Redskins fan, or excuse me, a Commanders fan for all these years, the only season game I went to was the Schottenheimer, LeVar Arrington, when they were 0-8, if I'm not mistaken.
0-5.
0-5, yeah.
Carolina Panthers overtime win. That was also the Rod Gardner 200-yard game that you were at. They were 0-5. It was week 6 in October. They were down in the game. LeVar picks off a pass, returns it for a touchdown. They take a lead. They win the game on a Rod Gardner deep ball in overtime. The first of 5 straight wins. They finish the season 8-3 in their last 11. And Marty Schottenheimer is immediately fired.
Was promptly fired, a decision that would go in a sea of terrible decisions by old Dan Snyder. Yeah, if you don't like losing games to enhance draft stock, then you can't cheer for Jaden Daniels when he comes back. So I hope you know we're sitting
nothing
on
quite works that
it
way.
It does for me. You're sitting on pins and needles when Washington has a chance to beat the Jets. If they do, you don't have Jaden Daniels. So you don't get to enjoy the fruits of the labor if you don't do the labor.
That part is true. I still think you get to enjoy the fruits, though.
If I had my druthers, you would get none, and you'd have to sit there and pout while the game's on.
The amount of people that screamed at us and yelled at us, though, back in that season about, you guys are crazy, why do you want a higher pick? Because then Jaden Daniels is possible.
Because then I get him, and you don't get it.
G&D on the Fan. I want to answer some NFL burning questions and figure out what's Washington going to do in their secondary now that they move forward without Marshawn Lattimore. Next on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.